I first want to say that if there's anything on anybody's heart at any point in time, that this service is always open to the Spirit of the Lord moving, and so I don't want to hinder anybody. You're not going to bother me if there's something that's needed to be said or done. I was back looking at your previous pastors, and a man that I admire greatly, Brother Henry Smith. I think about him often, as some of the work that I'm in is missionary work in Belize, and I just think about him, and I think about his testimony of what he did in Japan and Israel. I believe he was also there as well, and just his devotion to God and how he pressed forward and went to a land that nobody knew him and preached the gospel, and what a beautiful thing it is to see. And I'm thankful for those that have gone on before, and many of your previous pastors and current pastor I respect dearly and can gain much wisdom from them all. And so I appreciate you guys standing for the truth and still being here. This morning, I want to begin in the book of Genesis. It's a very familiar story. I've been reading the book of Genesis, and I felt impressed to just start from the beginning and just begin reading and trying to find what messages God would have me to preach or teach on. And as I was reading in the 39th chapter of Genesis, I came across Joseph. Many of you know Joseph. He was a perfect image of Christ in many ways, by many of his attributes, by many of the things that he went through and endured, and just his life and things. What we find in the 39th chapter of Genesis is where Joseph had just been sold to his brother Judah, had sold him to, I can't remember who it was, but he sold them to Potiphar and them, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And we find that he is now at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar puts him head over his entire house. We're going to be reading in the first verse, starting at the 39th chapter in the first verse. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites. That's who, the Ishmaelites is who Judah sold him to, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We find here so far that Joseph, because being a good man, being prosperous because God was with him, we find that Potiphar has placed him above all things. I believe that last verse there is showing us that Potiphar didn't even know what all he had, that he just allowed Joseph to have full reign over everything. He was a good man and well favored. We find that God can be prosperous to many of us in our lives, but many times there's trials and temptations that come about. And what we're about to begin to read is a temptation that was amongst Joseph, but I believe that God always provides a way out. The title to my message this morning is A Way Out. As we begin to continue to read this scripture passage, we find that Joseph, once again, is placed over Potiphar's house, over all of these things, the land, his food, everything. Potiphar puts full trust in Joseph. Many times I feel like in our lives that God puts full trust in us that are His children. And I believe that we should find that to be a great honor and to use it wisely. Let us begin reading here, continue reading on the 7th verse. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him with his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to the word, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did the servant to me this, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand and all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Give me one moment, sorry. That will conclude our reading lesson this morning. We find Joseph here, a man that was a goodly person, well favored. God was with him through this whole time. We find him at a crossing point when he's head over everything. God has allowed him to be head over Potiphar's home, allowed him to have great mercy, even though in the time of distress, a time where he was of nobody was with him, there was nobody he knew. God gave him a great time. He allowed him to be prosperous, even in a time that he was captive. I feel like many times when God makes us prosper and we are in our lives and we find that life is going good, that it's so easy for us to fall into temptation because everything's going fine. But I find here, and I see a great example of Joseph and a comparison with Jesus in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is tempted by the devil. It tells us here that Joseph was tempted day by day, because it says that Potiphar's wife day by day came to him asking him to commit this wickedness. But we find Joseph, being a man of God, came and told him that, "I can't do this. Potiphar put me above all these things. He gave me all these things, gave me all the things of life, gave me all these good things to watch over, except for thee." Isn't it just like the garden where God gave Adam and Eve everything to eat of the garden, except for the one tree. Yet man was tempted and beguiled by Satan. Many times we find in this world that Satan can cause us, because of our own lust and our own desires. It says in James chapter 1, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Every man has their own lust and their own desires of this worldly flesh that we struggle with. Not every man struggles with the same thing that Joseph did. It was said in some parts of the Bible that Joseph was a handsome man with goodly favor. If you define that out, he was probably a handsome young man. We find him in this time that maybe this was something of his that tempted him. The woman, Potiphar's wife. We find other temptations in the Bible, other things that can be a snare. But we find that God, even though it wasn't the thing that someone would want, found a way out. You would think that when Potiphar came and was alarming their guards and soldiers and saying, "Help, help, he's doing these things," that when Joseph gets put in prison, that's the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. No, I believe that the worst thing that could have ever happened to him was to be for him to commit that wickedness against God. Yet Joseph was put and thrown into a prison. But that was his way out. God took him out of that situation and he fled from that situation, and God gave him an escape, a way out to get away from the things that were tempting him in life. Many times we don't realize what God is using to get us out of a situation that we shouldn't already be in. If we go over and turn with me to the 1 Corinthians book chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." In other words, don't go put yourself in a situation that is going to tempt Christ, in the sense of that you're walking right into a snare or a trap and that you know that you're doing that, and thinking that God is just going to rescue me from my temptation, rescue me from my sin, rescue me from whatever it is. You know, I think many times in churches and places, it's very tempting in church to gossip. You have somebody that you go and talk to all the time and then relay messages to that you want to speak about someone else, and these are temptations, these are sins, these are desires of our flesh. There's other temptations that men and women all have, different things that they're tempted by in this world. But I find that if we don't put ourselves in that situation, if we don't continually find a way to be in that situation, maybe Joseph did put himself in a bad situation, because it says that when no one else was around, he went back to do his job. Did he have to do his job at that point in time? I don't know. I don't know what Joseph's heart was, but it seems like to me that maybe Joseph could have found a better time to go and not be in that temptation. Now, Joseph was still strong. He was strong-willed and not to do the things that are wicked against God, and didn't want to displease Potiphar, but maybe he could have found a way not to be in that position, not to be there at that appointed time. I'm sure, being someone that was head over the whole house, he knew that nobody was going to be there at that point in time. Now, it doesn't tell us any of these things in this passage, but it does make me think about putting ourselves in the bad position to be tempted. Whatever it be. Whatever that temptation and desire of this world, the lust that entices you, I present to you that you do not put yourself in a situation that you could tempt Christ. Tempting Christ is not what we need to be doing. Not what we need to try to do to try to get in a situation where we know God will rescue us from. You know, we were speaking in Sunday school about how we don't understand, Brother Colin brought up about how we don't understand how one man can commit a sin and God will strike him dead, and another man commits the same sin in the Bible and he lets him live and gives him more grace. We don't know why God does that. But just like the man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath, he broke the law, and God said, stone him to death. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? There's still temptations and sins of this world. I don't believe that God is going to take us out of this world because we sin, obviously, but we know that the wages of sin is death. It's what we're all tied to, is we are going to die. And when we're here upon this earth, we need to glorify our Father and resist these things. Isn't that why in the end that Joseph said he didn't want to do it? I don't want to do these things because it'll sin against God. Many times we get stuck into this world where we don't think about the things that we're doing because nobody's watching. Because it's just me, myself, and I. Because it's just me and my friend, and that friend's not going to tell on me, or whatever it may be. But God is always watching, but God also allows for a way to escape. Let me continue reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? At this particular time, he's speaking to the church of Corinth. They struggled with idols, is what they struggled with. He struggled deeply with those things. And so he's speaking of don't fall to the temptations to worship these idols. I feel like in the day and age we live today, we are tempted by many idols. Many idols. An idol doesn't have to be something that you actually form and make and create, and it's an image, a pagan thing that sits on a table that you worship. No, I believe an idol is anything that we use, that we put before God, that we are totally consumed by and want to practically worship it. That's a temptation. That's something that it's a lustly desire. But not every man is tempted by the same lust. But it says here that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. All human race and beings come to the temptations of this world, and there's not a temptation that you will press against that is not common to man, is not known to man. Even Jesus, the one and only true Savior, was tempted as a man on this earth. He was tempted by the devil, and the devil came to him, it seemed, every day for 40 days as Jesus fasted. And we find this account in the book of Luke. I'll turn over there here in just a moment, but we find that Jesus was tempted when he was fasting for 40 days. Turn with me now to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. This was right after he was baptized by John the Baptist, I believe, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days he was tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. If it is written, He shall give His angel charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Even God, even Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and was tempted by all things common to man, known to man. We find here, too, that it talks about that for a season he left. In another translation, that verse reads, When the devil had finished every temptation, he temporarily left him until a more opportune time. See, when we find that we are able to run and flee from the temptations that are among us, that Satan puts before us, it's not over. That's just one battle that we've won to press on. Even Jesus here, the man, the God-man that came and became flesh upon this earth, walked upon this earth and was tempted, yet was also fully God, still struggled with the same things, but he overcame all these things. Yet Satan still wasn't going to give up. And he never will, because he is the God of this world, and he wants to say to you, I'll give you everything. I'll give you all these things that you desire. I'll give you all these great things. Come on, don't you want this? Isn't that just how Satan does when he gets a hold of us in our times that we're most vulnerable? This was the most vulnerable state that Jesus was ever in. He was sitting there and he was, for 40 days the devil had tempted him. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. But you know what? The Spirit, it says here, the Holy Ghost returned. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit was with him. He was full of the Holy Ghost. These things, we can battle these things in life, and we can flee and escape these things in life because we are one. We have God with us. We have God within us. And the Holy Spirit, if we call out upon Him and we ask Him, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me to get rid of these things in my life. Please help me to have a way out and escape and run and flee. So the Apostle Paul, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7, he talks about your grace is sufficient. There's some things in this life that God may not allow to be taken away from us completely, but us being and looking to Him and knowing that His grace is sufficient to keep us going every way, to seek God, to seek Him so that we can be found doing good things in His name when He comes back. I find it a beautiful story of Joseph. He was a man that nobody wanted. His own kind didn't want, just like Jesus. He was a man that was tempted, just like Jesus. But in the end, he sought and said, I don't want to do this against God. I don't want to commit this wickedness and this sin against God. And the devil will try everything to tempt us. And I'll close with this. If you'll, in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's my message this morning. I appreciate once again this opportunity. I'll turn the services back over to Brother Colin.
All right. Let's all stand and sing hymn 264.